当人知道我是牧师的时候，常常有人会问说，神是怎么呼召你成为传道人的？
When people realize that I'm a pastor, they often ask me, how did God call you to become a minister?
当初申请神学院的时候，神学院一定要问的啊，你怎么是蒙召信主的？怎么蒙召作为传道人的？
When I apply for seminary, they would always ask, how were you called to be a Christian and how were you called to be a minister?
怎么知道这个呼召，神让我们做的事情真的是出于神呢？
How do we know what we do is truly come from God?
不是自己的想象，
Not our own imagination?
不是别人的声音，
It's other voices of other people?
甚至不是这种来自于仇敌、黑暗势力的那种搅扰的声音、试探的声音呢？
Or maybe the voice from the dark?
怎么知道是真实的出于上帝呢？
How do we know that really comes from God?
那神常常我们会听到说，神呼召我们做一些事情。
Often we hear that God calls us to do some things.
当我们心中有这样的一个意念的时候，我们怎么知道这种的声音、这种的呼召是来自于上帝的呢？
When we have these ideas, how do we know that they truly come from God?
几个星期前，我刚刚在这个巴尔的摩参加这个宣道大会，在这个使者主办的。
The Ambassador of Christ organized his missions conference, and I attended in Baltimore a few weeks earlier.
1,500多位来自华人教会的这些的弟兄姐妹聚在一起。
More than 1,500 brothers and sisters gathered from Chinese churches.
每一堂讲员都会发出呼召的。
Every session, the speaker will have a calling.
各种各样的呼召。
Different callings.
第一个呼召我记得很清楚，是这个 Hanson Taylor 的这个第五代孙啊，这个戴季中牧师啊，向大家发出的呼召，让鼓励弟兄姐妹哈、啊，全人的奉献给神。
And then there will be the first session I truly remember from the fifth generation of Hanson Taylor's descendants, calling us to full-time ministry.
哇，这个好多人回应哈、啊，有当时他们数了一下，70多人啊，走到前台来啊。回应这个呼召，接受这个祷告。
More than 70 came forward and responded to this calling.
然后以后每一堂有的是呼召，做宣教士的；有的呼召是全时间服侍主的；有的呼召是要在职服侍的。这个很多人回应。
And then there will be following sessions with different kinds of callings, maybe calling to be a missionary, maybe calling for full-time serving the Lord, or maybe serving the Lord while you're still having your own profession.
那大会特别安排就是有一个团队的。同工呢，专门帮助这些回应呼召的哈，有上百人呢，怎么知道他们听到的呼召是来自于上帝的
？And there will be this team organized by the conference, more than 100 people, to help these people to truly realize it's a calling coming from God.
其中我遇到一个弟兄哈，十几年前我就认识他哈，那他这一次在大会当中啊回应呼召，我就问他说，神什么时候呼召你的呢？
And I met this brother, actually, I knew from more than 10 years ago, and then I asked him, how do you know God calling you?
他说25年前呢，我刚刚信主的时候，我心里就听到神的呼召。
And he said, actually, 25 years ago, I actually heard God's calling.
这么多年啊，一直忙着事业，忙着这些事情，但是里面那个声音一直没有离开啊，所以这次在大会当中呢，再次啊，把自己奉献给神，为神所使用。
And actually, that voice has never left us because, but I was busy with my profession, but now I'm hearing it again.
真的出于上帝的这个声音哈，真的是哈，会抓住一个人啊，一年、两年，甚至几十年过去了哈，这个声音不改变的，持续不断的催逼人，让人来跟随他。
If a voice is truly coming from God, it will not leave you. It may be 10 years or more than decades, it will always come back to you.
在《使徒行传》当中，我们已经听到、看到这个保罗是怎么被神呼召出来的啊。
In the book of Acts, we have seen how Paul came out.
第九章啊，他就已经听到上帝的呼召了。
In chapter 9, he heard God's calling.
但是一直等、一直等、一直等到13章的时候哈、啊，神的再次呼召临到他的时候，他才真正走出来，来成就上帝呼召他要成就的事情。
And then finally, in chapter 13, he got called again, and he finally came out to fulfill the mission God has given him.
而且在第十三章当中，我们不仅看到神再次呼召保罗、巴拿巴这些的同工，神的呼召也临到这个教会。
And we see that not only did God's calling come upon Paul and also Barnabas, but actually come upon the entire church.
圣灵直接对安提阿教会，对这一批的同工，这一期聚集的弟兄姐妹直接讲话。
The Holy Spirit spoke directly to all these brothers and sisters who gathered.
从第十三章开始，整个使徒行传就进入到一个新的一个阶段。
Starting from chapter 13, the whole book of Acts entered into another era.
都是因着这一次圣灵直接对教会讲话，对工人讲话，差派他们出去做宣教的工作。
And it's the Holy Spirit speaking to the entire church to call them out to do work.
十三章之前，十二章主要是围绕着犹太人为主的教会的发展来记述的。
Before chapter 13 all the way to 12, it's actually God calling the Jewish Christians and building the church.
十三章以后呢，就开始。教会的重点开始进入外邦人当中，在外邦人当中建立教会，大批大批的外邦人开始悔改信主。
Starting with chapter 13, now the gospel has come upon the Gentiles. Many, many Gentiles believe the Lord.
从第一章到第十二章，福音先在耶路撒冷，然后扩展到犹大全地，然后扩展到撒玛利亚，但主要还是犹太人。
And starting in chapter 1, it was church in Jerusalem, going to Judea, then to Samaria, but the emphasis is on Jerusalem.
从什么时候开始，他们开始跨过这种的种族的界限，开始向外邦人传福音呢？就是在安提阿。
And when did they cross over to the Gentiles? It is starting with Antioch.
而且前十二章呢，主要是以彼得的事工啊，这位这个神亲自带领呼召的这位大使徒哈，以他的工作为线啊，来记载这个福音的工作。
And the first 12 chapters was about the ministry of Peter and how his ministry as a focus.
虽然在第十一章的时候，这个安提阿教会已经开始，但十二章还特地交代了一下哈，彼得的这个怎么被抓呀、被关，然后从这个监牢当中被天使引出来释放。然后他继续的去传福音。
Even though the Church of Antioch has been mentioned in chapter 11, but actually in chapter 12, it still talked about Peter being imprisoned and released by the angels.
但从十三章开始以后呢，彼得就渐渐的淡出这个福音的这个主要的这个战场。另外一个被神呼召出来的外邦的使徒保罗，成为这个带领教会往前走的那一位主要的同工。
And starting in chapter 13, Peter kind of faded away from the scene, and then this apostle for the Gentiles, Paul, became the focus.
而且很重要的哈，在十三章之前所看到教会的这个福音的工作都是被动的。
And you can also see all the work of the church before chapter 13 was reactive, passive.
他没有主动的向外面去扩展去传福音。
They didn't proactively go preach the gospel to the outside.
而是在被迫的情况下逼迫来到了教会不得不分散逃亡的时候才随走随传把福音带到各地去。
Persecution came and they were forced to disperse and then they spread out the gospel.
但从十三章开始不一样了教会开始主动的寻求主动的这个按照神的这个差派心意走出去开始到亚洲到欧洲到更远的地方为福音去做见证。
It was different in chapter 13. The church started proactively to go out to different parts of the world in Asia and Europe.
所以这十三章是一个很重要的一个分界线。那在这里面，我们看到神哪些方面的工作呢
？And then chapter 13, a very important distinction, the divider between the book.
我们发觉这个时候，圣灵为什么选择在这个时候，在这个地方对这个教会这一群人来讲话是因为。看到神已经早早做了很多预备的工作。
God has done a lot of preparation work so that when He picked this particular time, this particular place, and this particular group of people.
首先，我们看到这在安提阿这个地方有一个预备好的教会。
First, we see that in Antioch is a church well prepared.
再一个，我们看到在安提阿教会里面有一群生命很成熟、很认识神的一批的同工在这里。
And we see a mature group of Christians in there.
第三个，我们看到有能够承受使命，而且生命经过历练以后预备好的工人可以被差派出去。
And we also see workers who've been prepared spiritually to go out.
把这些东西都放在一起我们看到这个时间、这个时机是圣灵亲自选择的，他知道这个时间到了发出了差派的这个呼召。
And when all these things are put together, the Holy Spirit said the timing is right and it's the time to send them out.
我们先一个一个看哈，我们先看在安提阿这个地方，我们看到了一个能够被圣灵所差派的预备好的教会。
And first, we'll start with how the Holy Spirit has seen this church. It is well prepared and ready to go.
我们十一章的时候就已经看到了哈，他们经过四波的成长。
In chapter 11, we saw the four waves of growth.
借着这些的门徒很忠心的来向犹太人传福音，向外邦人传福音，使用他们传福音的这个机会和恩赐，能够让这个教会建立起来。
See that how they faithfully preach the gospel to the Gentiles and the Jews so that the church can be built up.
又借着这个巴拿巴哈，从耶路撒冷的教会被差派到安提阿，在这里做劝勉的工作，在这里做教导的工作，在这里做建造的工作，这个教会开始成长。
And we see that Barnabas was sent from Jerusalem to Antioch to do the work of teaching and encouragement.
当教会成长到一个程度时候，巴拿巴就觉得说我们这个地方需要更多的圣经话语的教导啊，所以就去把保罗找来啊。他们两个人在教会里面一起同心合意的，足足有一年的时间教导教会，让这个教会的根基深深的扎在上帝的话语当中，让这个教会能够走向成熟。
And then when Barnabas saw the need for more teachers, he brought along Paul so that together two of them spent more than a year to teach the church in the word of God.
成熟以后就要结果子了、啊、所以在第十一章特别交代、啊、他们当他知道这个耶路撒冷犹大地的教会有这个需要的时候，他们就甘心乐意的奉献、啊、他们是子教会、啊、直堂的教会、啊、但他们能够反过来祝福这个母会、啊，帮助过他们的耶路撒冷的教会。
And when they mature, they bear fruit. And when they saw the need of the mother church in Jerusalem, the daughter church willingly gave.
所以这是看到这个神给这个教会丰丰富富的赐福，各样的恩赐，传福音的、劝导人的、教导神话语的，以及奉献的恩赐，一个不缺，都在这个教会当中得以显明。
We have seen how God had gave abundantly to this church in all the gifts in spreading the gospel, in encouragement, in teaching, and also in giving.
What is next? 那下一步呢？这个教会下一步成长的方向在哪里呢
？What is next for this church?
这是在从第十三章开始看到的。这个成长成熟的教会的下一步就是倍增的教会。
And we see the next step for this mature church is to multiply.
这是教会成长的哈，在神心意当中不变的一个原则。
And this is an unchanging principle for God.
神建立一个教会，赐福这个教会，把各样的属灵的恩赐加给这个教会，是要借着这个教会怎么样多结果子哈，进行属灵的倍增。
And we see that when God bless a church and mature a church, the principle is that this church would multiply and bear fruit.
大家都记得耶稣讲葡萄树的那个比喻。
We all remember the analogy that Jesus gave about the vine.
我们是葡萄枝，耶稣基督是真葡萄树。
We are the branches, Jesus is the vine.
属于这个真葡萄树上的每一个枝子，神都有一个心意给他们。
There is the will of God for every branch on this vine.
是要借着他们不光是成长啊，不光是成熟开瓜，而且要结果子啊，结出果实来，荣耀天上的父。
Not only to grow, to mature, but also to bear fruit to glorify God.
对一个具体的基督徒是这样，对一个教会也是这样。神把恩典给我们，一切的水分、营养、阳光、空气、养料都给了这棵树，是要让它多结果子啊，让它属灵的倍增。
So it's the same for a Christian as well as for a church. When all the nutrients and water and air and all of that is given to a branch, then it needs to bear fruit.
同样耶稣讲那个好土、啊、那个四种土的那个比喻也是、啊、当他发现一个好土，当这个种子可以在里面、不受这个杂草啊底下的这个浅土的影响、能够成长以后，他就要怎么样结实30倍60倍甚至100倍的。
And the same thing for the four types of soil. When you have a good soil and the seed is sown in it, then it needs to bear fruit 30 times, 60 times, 100 times.
这是自然规律，在这自然界中我们看到就是种子如果能够正常的生长，有生命的地方，它一定会带来成长、成熟、开花、结果这样一个倍增的一个后果。
And as a natural principle, when a seed is sown, it will grow and it will mature and it will bear fruit.
但是什么时候呢？一个教会我们要懂得分辨啊，这个教会的成长有不同的阶段，那我们现在处在一个什么样的阶段呢？
But the church needs to discern what stage of growth it is in.
是一个开创期，还是一个成长期，还是一个成熟期，还是要准备好哈，要被差派出去去倍增的一个教会呢？
Is it a stage of being just sown and growing, or is it maturing, or is it multiplying and to be sent ready to be sent out?
好，第二方面我们看到哈，在安提阿这个地方。有一群预备好的同工组成这个团队，可以带领这个教会哈往前走。
And we see that there is this team that is prepared and ready to go out.
在这里提到这个五个人的名字。
It mentioned five people.
在第一节说，在安提阿教会当中有几位先知和教师，就是巴拿巴和称呼尼杰的西面、古利奈人路球。与分封之王希律同养的马念，并扫罗。
There were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with the Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul.
一共五个人呢
？Five people.
这五个人被称为先知和教师。
They were called prophets and teachers.
作为先知，他是上帝的代言人。
As a prophet, they are a spokesperson for God.
他们跟神有一个很亲密的关系，他们懂得怎么去聆听上帝的话语。
An intimate relation with God and know how to hear the voice of God.
而且很忠心的针对教会的需要，针对弟兄姐妹灵命的需要去发表神的信息。
And faithfully express God's will, knowing the needs of the church and brothers and sisters.
作为教师，他们要了解圣经已经启示出来的神的话语啊。旧约圣经、耶稣基督的讲论，可以本着圣经来教导圣徒。
And as teachers, they would teach others through the Bible and the Old Testament as well as the words of Jesus.
第一个提到的就是巴拿巴。
First mentioned Barnabas.
我们知道在安提阿教会的建立、成长、成熟的过程当中，巴拿巴是关键的领袖。
Barnabas was a key individual in the establishment of the Antioch Church.
他是居比路人。
He is from Cyprus.
那他很长一段时间是在耶路撒冷的教会当中服侍啊，在那个地方。
He served a long time in the church in Jerusalem.
被派到安提阿啊，让这个教会能够得到坚固。
To be and he was sent to Antioch to establish the church.
那居比路你就知道是在犹大地这个巴勒斯坦这个地之外的犹太人啊，应该是讲。希腊化受希腊文化影响，但是他也是很好的受到圣经的教导的这样的犹太人。
He is a Jew, but was outside of Jerusalem in this land, so probably from some Greek culture as well, but has ample training in word.
而且他是出自利未支派所以很好的这个信仰的传承在他身上。
And he is from the tribe of Levi with a good tradition of faith.
他也是心甘情愿愿意奉献自己的家产可能是把居比路的家产都卖掉然后帮助耶路撒冷的教会那里的弟兄姐妹生活上得到供应。
He willingly gave off all his assets in Cyprus to supply the needs of the Christians in Jerusalem.
第二个教会的同工被称作这个尼杰的西门。西面
Simeon called Niger.
尼杰Niger 你知道这个是拉丁文的这个跟这个黑人有关系的所以这个人很有可能是出自非洲的黑人。
Niger in Latin means black and it's probably from Africa.
第三位提到是古利奈，古利奈也是在非洲这个路球。
And third is Lucius from Cyrene.
第四位提到的是跟这个。分封王希律同养的马念。
And then the fourth one is Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch.
我们上次提到这个四代的希律王这个好多的希律在圣经里面。
There are many Herods in the Bible.
第一代希律王大希律要杀这个耶稣的那位希律第二代有这么多的孩子，但有一些被他爸爸杀死有一些被称作分封王的希律王。
And then there are many children of his, and then some were killed by the father, but there are some becoming tetrarchs.
上一章我们讲到说被虫子神派虫子把他咬死的是第三代的这个亚基帕一世这个希律。
And when we mention those that one who is eaten by worms, that's Agrippa the First.
那后面我们还读到这个 审问这个保罗的希律哈，这个亚基帕二世第四代。
And then the fourth generation is Agrippa the second.
这里讲到分，特别提到分封王啊，是这个应该是这个希律安提帕王。
And so here when we mention the tetrarch is probably Antipas.
什么人能够跟这个希律王一起长大呢？
Who can kind of fight with Herod?
有人说这个马念可能是被领养进入到这个贵族家庭。
Some will think that he probably was adopted into that family.
有人说可能是他本身就出自贵族的家庭，从小跟这个王的王子去陪读，在一起读书的。
Maybe some think that he probably was from a noble family and brought together with Herod to study together.
你看这些人，他们出自不同的背景啊。同样啊，这个在教会里面服侍的人，来自不同的地方，出自不同的背景，甚至有跟希律王一起长大的人。
And you can see all these people from different places, different cultural backgrounds, but yet, even one who's brought up together with Herod.
但是在基督里面，他们成为新造的人，能够进入到一个身体，在一个教会当中一起来服侍神。
But in Christ, become a new creation and become one body in the church.
第五个就是扫罗。
The fifth one is Saul.
感谢主哈，这个神使用这一批的童工来去寻求、来等候神的这个旨意的发布，然后跟随而行。
We praise God. God has used His team as they wait for God's will, then they will then execute.
提到这五位人，说他们怎么样侍奉主进食的时候，圣灵就开始讲话了啊。要为我分派巴拿巴和扫罗去做我招他们所做的工。
While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them."
在这里面，我们体会哈，为什么他们这个时候要进食呢
？We have to understand why they were fasting at that time.
通常是人遇到急难的时候，会用进食的方式去回应。
Usually, people will encounter some kind of emergency and they will respond with fasting.
遇到一个紧急的事情没有办法解决，迫切的寻求神的引导和同在，通过进食的方式来寻求神的同在。
And they urgently wait for God's guidance when they encounter the emergency, and they will respond with fasting.
这个时候在安提阿，这一群的童工为什么要进食呢
？Why were these workers fasting in Antioch?
教会里面遇到难处了吗
？Did the church encounter some difficulties?
好像我们感觉在安提阿的教会正在很健康的成长啊。
Actually, we feel that the Antioch Church is growing healthily.
他们经济上遇到难处了吗
？Did they encounter financial difficulties?
好像没有，他们能够甘心全心奉献出来去帮助别的教会啊，他们应该是有充足的供应。
They willingly gave to another church, so they probably have abundant resources.
他们是面对逼迫了吗？好像这个时候的逼迫主要是在耶路撒冷，主要是在这个靠近耶路撒冷的地方，在安提阿还没有开始看到对于教会直接的逼迫。
Did they face persecution? Actually, persecution time mainly centered around Jerusalem and not so much in Antioch.
这时候我们看到的是，在安提阿教会里面，神大大的赐福他们，他们领受了丰盛的恩典和祝福，而且教会健康的成长。有人估计当时的教会可能已经两三万人的教会啊。那为什么在这种情况下，他们的同工还要进食祷告呢
？And they were abundantly blessed by God, and their church probably were around 20,000-30,000 people, so everything is doing fine. Why were they fasting?
这个地方，我们就看到这一批同工的生命的成熟。
And here we can see the maturity of their lives.
在丰盛的恩典赐福顺利的情况下，他们感受到一种的紧迫感。
And they have this sense of urgency, even though they have this, everything is going well.
他们灵里感受到神给他们这么大的恩典，多给的要多要哦。神给他们这么多的恩典，要借着他们做什么事情，他们当时还不清楚，所以他们要进食、祷告、等候、寻求、倾听上帝的声音。
They have received abundant blessings, and yet they're not clear on what God wants them to do next. So that's why they're going into fasting to ask for the guidance.
他们领受了这么多丰盛的恩典，他们生怕神错过了神更大的恩典、更重要的带领，所以他们要等候，要寻求。
And because they have received all these abundant blessings, they are worried that they may miss out God's guidance and God's even more bigger blessings, and that's why they're seeking the guidance from God.
在二十世纪初有一次叫威尔士的属灵的大复兴。
there was this revival in the early 20th century in Wales.
在威尔士这个地方哈，神大大的这个动工哈，让大批大批的人的悔改，教会涌入更多的人哈，这个带起一次属灵的复兴。
God worked among the people there, and many many people believe in the Lord.
那在这个复兴的当中，其中有一个村落的一个教会哈，他们的信徒呢，就聚在一起祷告。
During this revival, there was this village, and the Christians in that village gathered together to pray.
为什么呢？因为他们发觉周围的村落都在复兴哈，但他们的村落好像没什么动静。
And they realized that all the villages around them had the revival, but yet nothing much happened in their village.
所以这些人就聚集哈，在那里做一个很简单的祷告。他说：“神呐、啊，当你带着大能在四围巡行时，求你不要漏下我们。”求你来到我们中间，不要越过我们。
So they have this simple prayer that asking God that when God you use your power and all around us, don't skip over us.
他们心中有一个神圣的期待，神圣的渴望，不以他们已经有的为满足，而是祈求神更大的恩典能够降临在他们当中。
They have this holy anticipation that God you can do more among us.
结果神降下恩典啊，让这个村落的人。也同样经历到神的同在和复兴的工作。
So God showered them with grace, so that this village also experienced a revival.
所以，安提阿教会的这批的同工和教会，有同样的这种的经历。
So these the church in Antioch and the co-workers had the same experience.
他们经历了巴拿巴的到来带来的这种的属灵的安慰、属灵的鼓励这种探访关怀这方面的服事。
They've experienced the blessings from Barnabas of encouragement and comfort.
他们也接受保罗的教导感受到保罗心灵的那团火要走出去要宣教回应神呼召的那一种的生命的感染。
They also experience the teachings of Paul of how they need to have this fire in them to go out and preach the gospel.
神也不断加添他们的人数，增加他们的奉献，让他们有能力去帮助那些周围有需要的教会。
God has increased the numbers and financially they can help other churches.
但是他们还在寻求，还在等候，还要经历神更大的祝福和恩典。当他们这样进食祷告的时候，圣灵就开始回应他们，对他们讲话。
But they continued to seek and wait and wait for even more abundant blessings from God. And then when they were waiting, the Holy Spirit spoke.
所以弟兄姐妹，我们要想经历神更大的恩典在我们的当中，这个阶段是不能跳过的一定要经过这个阶段，就是在一起聚集祷告，带着一种神圣的期待，期待神在我们的当中要做事情。
We cannot skip the stage of holy anticipation, waiting for God to do more among us.
大家有没有注意到圣灵是在这里等待他们呢？
You realize that the Holy Spirit is waiting for them.
圣灵没有提早向他们讲话，没有这个直接就点名让这个巴拿巴和保罗就出去宣教，而是在那里等候这一群的人，这一个教会能够期待这样的事情发生，聚在一起进食祷告，迫切的寻求的时候，圣灵才开始对他们讲话。
The Holy Spirit didn't just direct Saul and Barnabas to go out. The Holy Spirit was waiting for them to gather, have this holy anticipation, and pray, seeking the will of God.
预备好的一个同工团队。
A prepared team of co-workers.
第三方面，我们在这里看到有预备好的工人已经预备好可以被差派出去了。
And we can see also well-prepared co-workers.
巴拿巴是大有恩赐的，我们刚才已经讲过了。
We have already talked about how gifted Barnabas was.
神也把保罗带进这个安提阿的教会在这里跟他们形成一个团队一起服事。
And also God has brought Paul to be with them to serve together as a team.
而且保罗被改作叫做保罗是从十三章第九节开始的以前一直称他扫罗扫罗。
And actually in verse 9 of chapter 13, we will see how Saul changed to become Paul.
就是这个因为扫罗是希伯来文的名字在犹太人当中这个人们习惯称他为扫罗，但是保罗是希腊文名字在外邦人当中他就习惯用保罗这个名字。
because Saul is Hebrew and all the Jews would call him Saul, but Paul is a Greek name and all the Gentiles would call him Paul.
所以在第十三章十九节哈，这个从被称作扫罗被转成称作保罗，就说明神呼召他作为外邦的使徒，这个职分是在哪里开始承担的呢？是在十三章这个服事当中。
And so you can see that when this verse in chapter 13, when he started to become called Paul, that's when he was received this commission as the apostle for the Gentiles.
这已经不是第一次上帝呼召保罗了。
This is not the first time God called Paul.
第一次上帝呼召保罗出来是当他得救的时候，在第九章他去大马士革的路上。
The first calling he received was in chapter 9 on the road to Damascus.
复活的耶稣基督，这位主亲自的在大光当中向保罗显现，来呼召他，不仅是要归向他，而且要成为他手中的器皿。
The resurrected Lord revealed himself to Paul during the road to Damascus to not only to call him to save him, but to become a vessel in his hand.
所以当保罗听到神的呼召，他马上就回应哈，所以他马上他得救以后，知道神让他成为传福音的使者以后，马上他就在大马士革，在耶路撒冷开始起来为耶稣去做见证的。
And so that's why when he was receiving the call, that immediately he started serving the Lord in Damascus.
但显然那个时候时机还没有到。
But obviously at that time the timing is not there yet.
在大马士革他起来做见证的时候带来的是有人要杀他。
And when he started serving in Damascus, people started wanting to kill him.
所以这些帮助他的人就帮助他逃出从城墙上坠下去逃离大马士革逃到这个耶路撒冷去。
So both people who helped him escape from Damascus back to Jerusalem.
那当他在耶路撒冷依然要回应神的呼召要为主做见证的时候带来什么结果呢？
And what response did he get when he started to serve in Jerusalem?
还是有人要杀他。
And still, people wanted to kill him.
所以在这两次，他保罗很忠心的回应神的呼召的时候呢，教会的反应都是把他派走。
So when Paul faithfully responded to these two callings from God, the response or the result was that the church had to send him away.
在大马士革是这样，在耶路撒冷也是这样。好像这些教会弟兄姐妹门徒们都觉得，哇，扫罗在哪里就会带来麻烦，让他快快的离开，好像是最好的解决方案。
So same things happen in Damascus and Jerusalem. The Christians may feel that every time he tried to serve, it will bring about trouble. The best response is to send him away.
所以保罗离开耶路撒冷以后，就回到他的老家大树。在那里一等就好几年的时间。
So then he returned to Tarsus and waited for a few years.
所以上帝不光是在预备保罗这位工人哈，让他的生命成长成熟，怎么懂得跟人一起来同工，一起来服侍教会。
So God was not only preparing Paul so that he would be maturing and knowing how to serve the church and others.
同时，神对保罗的呼召，神也在等候教会能够起来，然后认出。不把保罗当作一个麻烦人物，而是能够接纳保罗，与他同工，不是把他拆走，而是把他拆派出去，作为他们的使者去做主的工作。
So God was also waiting for the church to accept Paul to be not as a sign of trouble, but actually someone not to be sent away, but to send out.
所以过了十几年之后，到了这个安提阿教会，圣灵再次，第二次了，对保罗发出呼召。
After more than 10 years, once again, the Holy Spirit gave a calling to Paul.
而且这一次神没有让他等很久，因为马上第三次，出自教会的这一次的呼召和差派，配合圣灵的呼召和差派，在保罗、巴拿巴的身上，这样他们就可以接受教会的差派，代表教会，走出去。
And this time he didn't have to wait very long, because now this time the calling is not just from the Spirit, but also sent by the church.
所以这个时候，教会预备好了，保罗生命也成熟成长了，他的团队也预备好了，真的是，神的时间到了，他们就可以走出去了。
So the timing is right. Now that the church is ready, Paul is ready, and the team is ready.
圣灵在这里看到一个预备好的教会，预备好的团队， 预备好的工人们，他也看到时机成熟了。
So the timing is mature when you have a prepared church, a prepared team, and a prepared worker.
所以在保罗被主呼召的这个过程当中，我们看到不光是主在讲话，圣灵在讲话，教会也在 confirm 啊，在确认神在保罗身上的工作。
And we can see that not only is God speaking, the Holy Spirit speaking, but also the church is confirming.
所以你看哈，他说，于是禁食祷告，按手在他们头上，就打发他们出去去了。
So you can see after they had fasted and prayed, they placed hands on them and sent them off.
这个是谁打发他们出去的呢？谁打发保罗和巴拿巴呢？是教会啊。代表教会的这些同工按手在他们 头上，然后教会打发他们去了。
So who sent them out? It's the church. These co-workers representing the church lay hands on them.
那到了下一节，他就说他们既被圣灵差遣，你看到没有？圣灵和教会是融合在一起的哈。圣灵要差遣这些人，是借着教会，借着这些同工按手在他们当中显明出来的。
And then you can see that they were in the next verse. They are sent on by the Spirit.And so you can see that the Spirit and the Church are kind of together in this whole affair.
这是我们在分辨圣灵的引导、圣灵的差派和圣灵在我们身上、在我们教会当中呼召的一个很重要的一个方面，我们是需要学习的。
And this is an important element that we need to learn about how to discern whether we are sent by the Spirit or the guidance of the Spirit.
我们常常听到说神让我去做这件事情的，圣灵感动我让我去做这件事情的，但有的时候常常忽略了一步，就是你从自圣灵来自主的呼召和差派有没有得到教会的 confirm。
And oftentimes we hear people say, you know, I'm sent, I'm moved by the Holy Spirit, I'm moved by God, but oftentimes we skip a step and is to receive the confirmation of the church.
所以人的呼召哈，这个过程当中教会的确认是非常重要的一步。
So it's very important in the calling of men is to have the confirmation of the church.
那经过教会的确认这一步，才能够防止一些假象啊，我们这个人，或者是听到的人啊，容易被一些的不是很真实的呼召所迷惑。
And it's through this important step that we can prevent being deceived by illusions.
而且很重要的哈，当我们确认了来自于神的呼召以后，这样的话，这样所做成的工作，最后所结出的果子哈，这个荣耀不是只是归于这个个人，而是归给上帝。
And it's also because of this that after we bear fruit and receive and have glory of that God can be glorified.
让众人都能够认出来哈，这是出于神的工作，神也与这个工作同在，神的祝福也在当中，是神得荣耀的这样一个事工。
So that we can see that as the work is being progressed, that we can see the glory of God among.
而且很重要，要经过教会的确认之后哈，教会需要工人，工人也需要教会哈，这是合在一起的，大家一起团队的服事很重要的一个方式。
And it's an important thing that the workers would need the church, and the church also need the workers.
这样，神在个人身上的差派和在他借着他所完成的工作，也成为教会的祝福，也帮助教会一起来往前走。
And so, as God blesses single worker, that the entire church will be blessed as well and can move forward.
所以你看，当保罗能够等候啊，等候神的时间。等候不仅是圣灵的差派和呼召，他也等候教会对他的确认啊，差派和呼召之后，他才跟巴拿巴一起出去的时候，最后的结果就是让神得荣耀，让教会得到建造。
And so as Paul was waiting not only for God's calling, but at the same time for the confirmation of the church, so that in the end that the God's work will be fulfilled.
所以这次第一次旅行传道回来之后哈。他们从那里回来，坐船往安提阿去。当初他们被众人所托，蒙神之恩，要办现在所做之工，就是在这地方。
So from Italia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed.
到了那里啊，聚集了会众，就述说神借他们所行的一切事，并神怎样为外邦人开了信道的门。二人就在那里同门徒 住了多日。
On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how He had opened doors, of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples.
所以他们领受神的呼召，借着教会的差派走出去的时候，不光光是他们单单这两个人走出去哈，全教会因为按手表示怎么样，认同接纳。跟他们一体的哈去工作，就为他们祷告啊，经济上支持他们呢，所以整个是整个教会参与到这一次的宣教工作当中。
So when they go out, they're not going out by the two of them, themselves, but yet they have received the confirmation and the blessing, so this entire church going out with them.
所以当这次结了这么多的好果子回来以后，他们又回到安提阿教会哈，向教会来述说神借着他们的作为，大家就一起哈见证了神的荣耀，把荣耀归给神。
And so after they have bear much fruit, and they go back to Antioch to report, and then so that God, glory can be given to God.
我们看这次宣教哈，真是结出好多的果子来。
And this mission journey bear much fruit.
记载他们从安提阿出发
，start in Antioch，
到了西流基哈，这是靠近地中海的港口。
And went to Seleucus, which is a port near the Mediterranean Sea.
然后他们就去了居比路。
They went to Cyprus.
为什么要去基比路呢
？Why Cyprus?
很有可能是因为巴拿巴哈，他就是这里的人。
And probably because Barnabas from there.
他了解那地方的需要。
Understand the needs of that particular place.
还有很多的关系哈，可以借着这种的关系，看到这些福音的需要哈，在那里开始传福音。
And through that relationship, then start preaching gospel there.
这个萨拉米哈是靠东边的这样一个大的城市。
Salamis is a big city on the east.
记载说他们到了萨拉米的时候，他们就进了会堂啊，在那里传道传福音。
And talk about how they enter into the Jewish synagogues to preach the gospel there.
这是犹太人的习惯哈，这个各地的会堂如果有外来的这个文士啊，受过教育的栽培的人哈，就邀请他们在会堂里面分享神的话语。
That's the tradition of the synagogues. When they receive visitors who are kind of educated, then they would invite them to speak in the synagogue.
这时候就看出神为什么要选择保罗很重要的原因。
And then we can see an important reason why God chose Paul.
一旦走出去，大家知道，哇，保罗，保罗是加玛列的门生哦。
And when Paul went out, people would know that he's a student of Gamaliel, and so he's famous.
受过非常严谨的法利赛人的教育。
Very stringent education under the Pharisees.
所以进了会堂，大家一听到他这个背景，一定会邀请他，给他机会在会堂里面去讲解神的话。
So people would give him an opportunity to preach in the synagogues.
但知道保罗不会错过这样的机会哦。
And Paul would not miss that opportunity.
他一定会借着这个机会，本着圣经来向人讲解谁啊？讲解耶稣基督。
And so he will be according to the Bible to preach about Jesus.
所以这样的话哈，无论走到哪里哈。保罗都预备好在会堂里面借着旧约的圣经向人传讲耶稣基督的得救之道。
And so through the Old Testament, Paul would be preaching about the words of grace and saving faith.
但是在萨拉米这里没有，圣经没有记载这里有人相信。
But it didn't report people believing the Lord in Salamis.
而是到了帕弗这个地方。
And until when they reach Paphos,
遇到这个士囚保罗
，and they encounter this proconsul, Sergius Paulus.
这里中文翻译成方伯，方伯是什么？就是这个地方的省长。
And is really the governor of that place.
这个省长称作很有智慧的人哈，所以他邀请巴拿巴、保罗向他去讲道。
So he's an intelligent man, and he invited Paul and Barnabas to talk to him.
在这里也是遇到了第一场的属灵的征战。
And also encountered the first spiritual battle.
这个被称作巴耶稣的人。
This Bar Jesus.
犹太人。
Jew.
假先知。
False prophet.
站出来抵挡福音真道。
Oppose the word of faith.
福音的使者和黑暗权势的使者直接的对抗。
The ambassadors for the gospel will be fighting with the ambassador of the dark forces.
为什么叫巴耶稣
？Why do you call it Bar Jesus?
巴就是儿子的意思。
Bar means son.
可以翻译成耶稣之子。
Or meaning son of Jesus.
那当然，那个时候叫耶稣的人不止一个。
Of course, there are many who called Jesus at that time.
所以，当我们称耶稣的时候，常常会讲说拿撒勒人耶稣。
So oftentimes when we say Jesus, we say the Nazarene Jesus.
因为耶稣这个名字就是救赎的意思，救恩的意思。
And that the word meaning salvation.
所以他很可能取这个名字，是因为他说他是救赎之子，带来人的救赎的。
So that maybe that's why he called himself Bar Jesus, meaning he's the son of salvation.
但当保这个时候啊，第九节的时候。扫罗的名字就被改成保罗了。
And then verse 9, Paul's name, Saul's name was changed to Paul.
是在这场属灵的征战当中显出保罗被神所拣选差派，有属灵的权柄。
And so that we can see that Paul has a spiritual authority.
保罗被圣灵充满，定睛看着这个巴耶稣。
So Paul was filled by the Spirit and looked straight at Bar Jesus.
说你这充满各样诡诈奸恶魔鬼的儿子。
And you're full of all kinds of deceit and an enemy of everything that's right.
众善的仇敌。
And you are the child of the devil. And
你混乱主的正道还不止住吗
？And would you ever stop perverting the right ways of the Lord?
现在主的手加在你身上，你要瞎眼，暂且不见日光。
Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time. You'll be unable to see the light of the sun.
他的眼睛立刻昏蒙黑暗，私下里求人拉着手领他。
Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand.
在这个过程当中，显出保罗的信心。
Here we review the faith of Paul.
也保罗显出他的这个属灵的权柄。
And also review his spiritual authority.
奉着耶稣的名，胜过黑暗的权势。
In Jesus' name, he had victory over the forces of darkness.
他是神所拣选的使徒。
He is the apostle chosen by God.
注意，他当看到人抵挡的时候，他想起当初他自己也是这样了。
When he see opposition, he remember how he was like that.
他也曾经是抵挡教会、抵挡福音的人。
He also was opposing the gospel in the church.
是借着他的眼瞎啊，大光照来，他眼睛瞎了以后，他才真正认识那个真光的。
Only after his blindness did he realize understand the true light.
所以保罗在这里的祷告哈，一方面是对他的一个咒诅，同时也是给他的一个机会。
And here Paul was giving him both an opportunity and a curse.
而且他的宣告特别很仔细，他说暂且不见日光。
And it's very specific. It says, "For a time, you will be unable to see the light."
他也是带着一个怜悯的心肠，盼望这一个巴耶稣哈，能够在这次的经历当中，能够认识真神，能够悔改，真正像保罗一样当初，能够悔改认识这位真神。
With a heart of mercy, he was hoping this Bar Jesus would repent and believe in the Lord.
所以在这个过程当中，我们看到哈，在这个后来他们继续走哈，从帕弗走到这个庞菲利亚，继续往上走，最后回来哈，又回到安提阿。
And so after Paphos, they went to Pamphylia, and then after a while, then they went back to Antioch.
所以在这一次我们今天读的这一段当中，我们看到圣灵差派的宣教结出的果子。
And here we see the fruit borne by the Spirit as the Spirit sent.
这里有至少三个很重要的果子。
Three important fruit.
第一个就是显出保罗神在他身上的呼召和拣选。
And first is to reveal the calling of Paul.
第二个就是这个使徒保罗，这个居比路的省长信主了。
And the second thing is that this governor of Cyprus received the Lord.
注意这里面讲哈，方伯看见所做的事，很稀奇主的道，就信了。
And so here it talks about the proconsul was amazed and believed in the Lord.
在他面前明显出了一个神迹啊。
He saw a miracle.
保罗祷告啊，这个人眼睛就瞎了。
Paul prayed, and this person was blinded.
但他不仅仅是因着看到神迹而信耶稣的哦。
But it's not just because of the miracle.
他说他看到这些事情以后，很稀奇主的道。
And he was amazed at the word of God.
他听清楚了保罗所传讲的那个道。
He heard clearly the word of God from Paul.
是因着福音的真道，讲到人的罪，讲到耶稣基督的十字架，讲到耶稣基督从死里复活。方伯才真正的重生得救的。
And it's only after hearing the word of the gospel about the sin of men and the death of Jesus, the resurrection, and after all of that, then he believed.
人的得救不光是在教会当中蒙受恩典，看到好处，看到这些的奇妙的事情，更重要的是明白我们都是罪人，我们都需要耶稣基督的救赎，我们需要这一位死里复活的耶稣基督的拯救，才能够真正重生得救。
When people believe in the Lord, the church is not just because they've seen some amazing things in the church or received some benefits, it's really they understand their own sin and then come to repent and believe in the Lord.
这个有史料记载啊，这个方伯不管他一个人得救，他们全家最后都信耶稣了。
There are actually history recordings about not just this proconsul himself believing the Lord, but his whole family as well.
第三个果子就是这个约翰马可。
And the third fruit is John Mark.
这个时期的约翰马可啊，还像当初的保罗一样，还是在一个预备等候的时期。
So John Mark at this stage is like Paul in the early stages, and he's still in the stage of preparation.
这里只简单的提了一句，说约翰就离开他们回耶路撒冷去了。
A very simple sentence, John left them to return to Jerusalem.
但后来因为这件事情哈，产生了很大的问题哈。当他们第二次要出去的时候，巴拿巴有意要带称呼马可的约翰同去，但保罗因为马可从前在庞菲利亚离开他们，不和他们同去做工，就以为不可带他去。
And in the second mission journey that brought about some consequences, Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work.
为什么马可在半途就离开了呢？
Why did John Mark left in the middle?
圣经没有交代原因哈，有可能的原因是可能他在这过程当中生病了。
The Bible didn't tell, but maybe he was sick.
有可能是他在这个过程有一点跟他原先的期待不相符哈，他有点失望，他就离开了。
Or maybe he was disappointed because it was kind of not a match with his expectations.
或者有可能他在这个帕弗那个地方看到这一场很激烈的这个属灵的征战以后，他有点胆怯了，往前走有更多的困难哈，所以他有点害怕，他就离开了。
Or maybe he was afraid after he witnessed some of the spiritual battle in Paphos.
可能有合理的原因，也有可能让保罗看有点看不顺眼的一些原因。
Or maybe there is something that Paul just didn't think is right.
所以保罗就不同意啊，这个时候觉得马可不可以带他啊，继续去做工。
So that's why at this time Paul disagreed and didn't want to take John Mark with him.
于是二人起了争论啊，甚至彼此分开啊，这个。这么好的同工，就因为这一件事情哈，两个人就吵到一个地步，不能继续走了，不能继续在一起了哈。巴拿巴带着马可坐船往居比利去，保罗拣选了希拉也出去，蒙弟兄们把他交于主的恩中。
So the two very close co-workers had a disagreement. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord.
但这不是这个约翰马可的故事的终结啊，过了十年几十年之后啊，这个年轻的同工渐渐的成长成熟啊，就是在宣教的过程当中也显出他的弱点来，但是他愿意谦卑，愿意悔改，他可以继续的成长啊。最后这一位约翰马可就是写约翰啊这个马可福音的哎这一个作者。
But that's not the ending for the story for Mark. This young co-worker matured over decades, and eventually he is the author of the Gospel of Mark.
也到了保罗服事的晚期，当他被关在监牢里的时候，特地写这个监狱书信出来的时候，提到马可哈，那对他是一个肯定啊。这个时候马可已经更加成熟了啊。所以哥罗西书第四章第十节说：“与我一同坐监的。”亚里达古问你们安，巴拿巴的表弟马可也问你们安。就说到这马可，你们已经受了吩咐，他若到了你们那里，你们就接待他。
And so in the late stages of Paul's ministry, while he was in prison and he wrote these letters, he confirmed the service of Mark and he said, "My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark."The cousin of Barnabas, you have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him.
到了他最后的一封书信啊，保罗已经知道离世的时间到了。他也提到马可啊，他说：“独有路加在我这里啊，你来的时候要把马可带来， 因为他在传道的事上与我有益。
In his last letter, and he knew that he was about to die, and he mentioned in 2 Timothy, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry.
好，我们总结一下哈，看到这一次出自圣灵的教会同心的差派带来的这个结果都有什么样的果效？
So we can see the results as the sending that is brought about by the Holy Spirit and the church.
这段经文当中我们看到哈。保罗的宣教是出自圣灵的差派。
Paul's mission is moved by the Holy Spirit.
是接受教会的印证同心的这个差派。
And confirmed by the church in unity.
那在他们过程当中，既然圣灵差派他们，圣灵就不会离开他们，就会显出他的同在，任何抵挡的势力都没有办法胜过圣灵的能力。
And if it's sent by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will not desert from them, so the Holy Spirit will be present with them.And reveal his power.
他们可以广传福音。
They can spread the gospel.
在会堂当中，在这个外邦人当中，不断地为福音去做见证。
In synagogues, among the Gentiles, to bear witness.
一旦传福音，就会遇到属灵征战。
When they spread the gospel, they will receive the opposition spiritually.
传福音就会搅动这个黑暗的权势，这些黑暗的权势是不可能袖手旁观的，所以要预备好啊！我们靠着神才能够得胜黑暗权势的抵挡。
So spreading gospel will stir up the forces of darkness, so we need to be prepared to fight the battle.
然后呢，在这个过程当中造就了门徒。
And in this process, making disciples.
保罗、巴拿巴的信心得到锻炼。
Paul and Barnabas' faith was tested.
也让这个约翰马可的生命啊，在这个过程当中经历以后呢，慢慢的成长成熟。
And then John Mark grow gradually.
最后带来的是整个教会的整个合一的成长。
And also bring about the entire church continuous growth.
所以这个原则啊，不光适用在保罗身上，其实适用在每个教会每个事工上面，对不对？
And so this doesn't just fit in Paul's life, but it fit into every single church.
当我们接受神的呼召，蒙受圣灵的这个托付，做一件事情的时候，都是这样啊，出自圣灵，受到教会的祝福和确认，然后呢，显明圣灵的同在，神的同在，为福音去做见证，造就门徒，最后带来教会整体的全面性的成长。
As we receive the calling from God, it will be always be started with the moving by the Holy Spirit and then confirmed by the church. And then with the presence of the Holy Spirit would help us to be spreading the gospel, making disciples and bring about growth.
无论是个人也好，教会也好，我们都要效法这样的样式，在开始每一项事工之前，在参与每个事工当中，紧紧地依靠神的能力，成就神的事工，最后把荣耀归给神。
And it doesn't matter whether it's individuals or the church, for every ministry, we need to rely on the power of God.
2025年对于马里兰福音教会是特别的一年。
2025 is a special year for MGC.
我们教会是2018年开始聚会的。
We started meeting in 2018.
但是是在2019年的时候，我们组织起教会注册，制定我们的 bylaw, 选出同工团队。然后我们这个聘募都是在2019年开始的。
But all the work of registering as a non-profit and all the setting up a co-worker team and hiring a pastor, all that happened in 2019.
所以2019年算起到2024年年底，我们满了六年了。
So starting from 2019 to the end of 24, six years.
所以当我们进入到2025年的时候，进入到我们教会成长的第七年呢。
So as we enter in 2025, it's the seventh year.
第七年，我们知道在犹太人当中，这是一个很特别的叫做安息年。
We know that the seventh year is an important year for the Jewish people, is the year of Sabbath.
这个第七年提醒我们这个教会，怎么能够在神的当中，更懂得去依靠神，寻求神，等候神，靠着神来成就一切，在服事当中享受神同在的那种的安息。
And it's a reminder that we can continue to seek Him, to let Him guide us, and to rely on Him, so that we can discern His will.
所以盼望在这第七年，马里兰福音教会的服事当中， 我们可以着重注意三件事情。
We need to focus on three things in this year.
第一件事情，我们要想听到神清楚明白的进一步的带领，我们首先要在神已经讲出的话，圣经的话，已经明明白白摆在我们面前的话语当中，好好的继续的生根建造。
And so we, as we seek God's guidance in this year, that we need to, through His words, have been clearly revealed to us to build upon it.
所以这是我们教会从一开始哈就强调哈建造的一个方面，就是在神的话语当中好好的追求。
So we've been emphasizing how we build ourselves up in God's words.
我们每周跟大家报告211的读经计划，那就是从2019年的1月份我们开始的。
We started this 211 Bible reading plan in 2019 January.
我们好好的读神的话，查考神的话，背诵神的话，默想神的话哈，我们这是我们持续，所以在2025年当中，我们要持续的在神的话语当中生根建造。
We read, we study, we meditate, we memorize God's word, and we will continue to do so in this year.
第二个，我们希望在2025年当中，我们一起来学习，一起来晋升的，就是祷告的服事。
And the second thing we need to learn in 2025 is the ministry of prayer.
借着祷告来与神亲近，借着祷告来倾听，明白神的旨意和带领。
Through prayers to be close to Him to understand His will.
特别是作为教会，作为大家一起的啊，弟兄姐妹聚集在一起的，同心的祷告，同心的寻求，同心的等候，一起来分辨神的带领和旨意，这个是需要我们晋升和加强的部分。
And that's something that we need to strengthen to learn how to pray and wait in unity.
让我们学习哈，一起同心的聚集在一起祷告哈，一起来等候，一起来分辨出神的带领之后，然后同心的去往前走。
As we seek His guidance in unity, that we need to also go forth in unity.
第三个，我们要享受在神里面的安息哈，我们要注重我们教会内部的牧养、建造。彼此的关系彼此相爱的这种的关系的建立。
As we rest in the Sabbath, we also need to focus on our building up our relationships and care for one another.
神已经交托给我们的已经建立的现有的这些的宣教的机会啊，传福音的机会，我们还要忠心的持守。
We need to continue to execute on those things that God has already commissioned for us to do, to spreading the gospel.
但是在这个同时，可能更多的眼光、更多的建造是在我们的彼此当中。
But at the same time, that more of that building up is among ourselves.
盼望在这新的一年当中啊，神的恩典更丰富的显明在我们的里面。
May God's grace be even more abundantly revealed to us in this year.
也让我们更加同心的往前走。
So that we can go forth in unity.
我们唱这首。回应的诗歌重新合一。
And we'll sing a song of response.